11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Kareem Ray. Kareem, how's it going?
Good, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you coming on. So the first question I always ask everybody is, what's your first memory of playing soccer?
First memory of playing soccer was back in House League days, back here in Canada, Ontario, Brampton. House League, yeah, just playing, running around, keeping the ball, having fun.
For sure. And then growing up in Canada, what was what did your youth career look like?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a Canada promotion here. Canada is a great place. It's a very nice, clean, safe space here for to grow a family. In regards to playing career in Canada, it was hard because we had a house league and then rep an academy system here, but the pathway to pro wasn't clear and wasn't here in Canada when I was growing up. So I was born in the 2000s, currently 23, turning 24 in April. And it wasn't until 2019 when Canada's first professional league started, which is called the CPL, the Canadian Premier League. So when I was growing up, you know, getting closer to the age of 18, I was looking to go outside of Canada in order to go pro. So 2018, I had the opportunity to go to England, play down there for 6 weeks on trials. Got picked up by Reading FC, but didn't fully go through. The reason why is because I was as good as another player that Reading FC was looking at. And if you're not above and beyond the player that they're comparing you to, they're not going to go head over heels for you, right? They're not going to want to put as much time, effort, money, and work in order to get you over there when they have a player in their country that they could just get in right away. 2019, I had the opportunity to play in France for 3 months. And then the last team I was playing for was Naples United FC in the NPSL League down in Florida, Naples.
For sure. And then what was the difference between playing in Canada and playing in the US?
You know, there's definitely a lot of opportunity in the U.S. and yeah, definitely way more pathways. You got starting from the top of the pyramid, you have MLS, USL Championship. You know, you got three pro leagues in Division III. You have MLS Next Pro, USL One, NISA. And then underneath that, which is quote unquote semi-pro, you have the NPSL and UPSL. So there's, first of all, you know, you got five leagues to go pro. Yeah. There's about 400 professional teams in the US. Don't quote me on that. I don't know the exact numbers here. I don't have them put in front of me. But Paul, there's so much opportunity to go pro in the US versus Canada, where we just started a league. There's only one league and there's only like eight teams. So I think that's one. The difference between the US and Canada is the opportunity to go pro. The second thing, when you're playing in a place like Florida, the weather is amazing versus Canada during, you know, the winter season and spring, it gets pretty cold. So I'd say the weather is amazing if you're in a great state like Florida. And then the third thing is the talent. Canada has great talent, but there is an abundance of talent in the US. So those would be three things I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just in general sports, like just like you were saying, in the warm weather states, that's why a lot of athletes come from Florida, California, Texas, and all that, because like they could play all year round and the weather conditions are basically perfect. But yeah, that brings up a good point too, just because like I wasn't familiar with like, you know, Canadian soccer, obviously, besides like the national team and the MLS teams. But I didn't know there wasn't, I didn't even know they didn't have their own league till that reason. So that's crazy. And then, yeah, tell me a little bit, like what inspired you to write a book in general? And two, yeah, so, like, how did you start that process and all that? Like, how did you get all that done?
Yeah. So this is going back to my days, when I used to go, this goes back to when I was at, Block Station's office through my, mentor, Jay Waterman, which is also our co-founder at One Soccer Nation. So I was 18 at the time, going from Brampton to Toronto, which is like a 30-40 minute drive. And then after, regular work hours at 9 to 5 at the office, I then go to soccer, which was like another hour drive, close to Seneca College, which is another hour drive to go train. And that was my routine for about 2 years. And during my time at the office, I learned a lot about entrepreneurship. That's where I started building One Soccer Nation. And the book, how the book came about was, I was at the office one day and Jay's like, "Kareem, do you know how to go pro?" And I was like, "Honestly, no, I don't." And he was like, "You want to go pro, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, 100% I want to go pro." But he's like, "You don't even know how to go pro." And I was like, "You're right." So he's like, "You know, I think writing a book would be a good idea." I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "In a book, you can document the steps that you need to take in order to get where you want to go." And then I was like, "Whoa, that's really cool." I didn't even know or think at that time at 18 years old that I could write a book, right? Like, who am I to write a book? So that's what was going through my mind. But Jay really planted that seed and belief in me that this is a pathway that I should take and something that I should do that's going to help me in my journey. And that's exactly what I did. So I started creating the book. I started with the topics I wanted to write about, so the chapters, and then I just started to input the context into the book. And obviously, you know, I watched a few YouTube videos in regards to how to self-publish your own book. And then I put it all together, came up with a title, hired a designer on Fiverr to create the front cover and back cover, hired someone to do the formatting. And then I uploaded it by myself onto KDP. And going through this whole process really taught me a lot in regards to creating my own things, structuring things and completing things. So from age of 18 to 9, from the age of 18 for a few months, I wrote the book. And then at 19, I had it ready to go. So say it took me about a year to get done. And then when I was 19, I didn't release it until a few months later. So it took me some time to even gain confidence to want to share the book, which was a whole another experience. But yeah, it was definitely something. It was a huge challenge at 18, but I got it done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, that's cool in general, just because like it's cool how much technology we have. Just so like you were just like the guy was like telling you should write a book, and you're like, "How could I write a book?" And then you're like, you figured out all the stuff, and you even like ran through the process. Like everything is on YouTube. Like everything, you could figure out pretty much like anything. It's just crazy. It's pretty much like if you could say one thing today and you could figure it out, not by tomorrow, but you could start figuring out by tomorrow.
100%.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then so what, I guess, well, you kind of, I don't know if you, I forgot if you answered it, but so what gave you the courage to actually release it?
Yeah, it was like a lot of time went by and I'm like, I went through this huge challenge and why am I not going to release it? Like, yeah. I'd already did the hard part. Now it's time to share it with the world, share it with family, friends. And I just built up the confidence and courage to do it because so much time had already passed by. I'm like, I got to do it now. So I just did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dope. And then tell me, so you're young, one, so it's cool. You're an entrepreneur, obviously. And tell me a little bit how One Soccer Nation came about.
That's a good question. I know. I'm going to go a little bit back. It started off as a logo, you know, creating a logo with a designer in person for about like 2-3 days. How the name came about was a cool story. I was downtown Toronto. I seen a company called One Soccer. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I know Jay-Z's like Rock Nation. I was like, whoa, like One Soccer Nation. So the name came about first, and then the logo came second. And then third was that really got the exposure for One Soccer Nation was podcasting. So this was back in 2021. So I started the podcast in 2020, but 2021 was the time that I really, this is where I was in Florida, Naples, living by myself and just focusing on going pro. All I had the time to do was work out, go to practice, go to games, eat, and the beach. I had no friends in Florida, Naples, besides teammates that I didn't chill with at all. I really just focused on myself, and it was a lot of growth. So I had a lot of time to work. And one of those things was podcasting. So I really started diving in, spending a lot of time setting up Zoom calls, hopping on calls, speaking with, interviewing coaches, scouts, agents, players that play in MLS, USL Championship, USL One, NISA, and all around the world. And it really started to take off. We're in 2024. We're 4 years in with the podcast. And, you know, we've interviewed some really cool people, some club owners, guys that own USL Championship clubs, USL One clubs. And I've learned a lot. And with saying that, you know, what One Soccer Nation is, our goal is to give unknown superstars the chance to go pro. And how we plan on doing that is by inviting 100 top men and 100 top women to the One Soccer Nation tryout. And at that tryout, our goal is to find the best 25 men and the best 25 women. A part of that process, we have a reality TV show component to it. So we're going to capture all the drama, emotion, and excitement in order to create a reality TV show, because it's like an amateur player per se that's really good going pro, right? We're going to be able to, we're guaranteeing that there are 25 men and 25 women are going to go pro. And how we're going to guarantee that is by launching our own professional club. So it's really exciting really fulfilling, because it's helping others realize their dream and helping them with the problems that they're facing. There's millions of players. There's about 250 million plus players that play at different levels, right? That want to go pro. And there's only 130,000 pro players, according to FIFA's 2021 report. So there's an abundance of players. There's not enough pro clubs. And in the US, there's a lot of juice to squeeze. You know, there's plenty of markets to launch above it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Those stats are crazy. I like the reality TV aspect. Like, I feel like that's kind of where a lot of sports stuff is going on, especially with Netflix. I don't think there's been any American soccer stuff or Canadian soccer stuff like on Netflix, but obviously overseas there's been a lot. And then even now, I'm sure you've seen like the F1 series blow up, and now they launched the NASCAR one because they're hoping like NASCAR blows up like that. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I think any sports docu/reality show, I think is always cool. Like when you get the insides of a player and then their story and things like that. I'm like a huge fan of Last Chance U. Have you ever seen that show?
No, I haven't. I'll
check that one out.
I'll check it out. I have seen, and I'm going to check out the NASCAR. I have seen the Formula One. I was not a Formula One fan until I watched the documentary.
And that's why I'm saying, like, I think it could work for soccer, like, even easier.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the other thing, too, is like what you were saying about US and Canada not having any content. I know for sure the US will have content in the next 2 years.
Yeah. And so what's your timeline to do all that?
So, you know, we've been speaking with pro leagues in the US for about 2 years now, building up those relationships. We're at a point now where we've built out our advisory team, our business model, our financial model and projections, we have our checklist of things that we've completed, some videos to showcase what we're working towards. And where we are now is in a position to now go back to the league and say, show them where we are and present to them, this is what we want to do. And this is how we want to help the league grow. So that's where we're at now. The timeline is 2 years. So once we secure a partnership with the league, Our goal is to launch a club in the next year and a half or 2 years. The reason why I say a year and a half is because we're in 2024. World Cup is in the next 2 years, 2026. Mm-hmm. And we want to be able to capitalize on the World Cup. So that's our goal. And you got things like Copa America coming up soon in June. And hopefully the FIFA's Women's World Cup as well. That will be hosted by the U.S.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday that everything got launched. So I was excited to check all that stuff out. And I'm in Connecticut, so I saw the finals is going to be in MetLife Stadium in New York, New Jersey. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
But yeah, like overall, I mean, you're super young and you already created a book and you have your own company. So that's just dope in general. Where do you get all like your motivation and aspirations from like growing up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it's the people around me, you know, family and friends. We have a lot of entrepreneurs and they really fuel me in regards to the works that I do. And one thing that people say a lot is you got to love what you're doing. And I believe that's very true. If you love what you're doing, the work that you're doing is not really work. It's fun. I love soccer. I've played it for about 20 years from grassroots all the way to semi-pro levels. And I'm obsessed with the game. And to have this opportunity and the tools and resources that we have, that fuels me even more to go even harder to make sure that this project is not only an idea, but comes to life and creates an opportunity to change people's lives, whether that's going pro, creating a space for fans, you know, building a 5,000 plus seated stadium for fans to come with their families, enjoy a beautiful game, and just creating an amazing atmosphere, bringing people together. And that's what soccer does.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And before we get into the Quincy questions, I want to ask you, how did Quincy become involved in, you named him the business development advisor?
Yeah, so I've told Quincy this story in person. You know, I would say it's God's plan, and I hope I'm pretty sure he'll hear this, but I don't even remember exactly why or how why I reached out to him. But I knew, you know, a year or two back now that we needed to have a professional player on our side that had that experience of doing it, right? Because I've only went so far, right? But someone that actually was in it, that even, you know, I wasn't even expecting for us to get someone in the MLS. But and we're talking about Quincy here. He's won the MLS Cup, right? Huge, huge. So I always had the plan to get a professional player, assuming it would be someone that I knew, to be a part of the project that we're working on. I'm not too sure. I don't remember exactly why I reached out or how I got Quincy's contact, but I did reach out to him through email. And the first time I reached out to him was for podcast. And, you know, he basically just said, not right now, maybe in the future for the podcast. A few months had passed by. I reached out to him again, sharing the One Soccer Nation deck. And then we hopped on a call. So there was Quincy had more interest in what we were doing now. And then a few months later had passed by, and shout out James Genosis, said, "Hey, Kareem, you should go. You have a really good podcast. You should go to the United Soccer Coaches Convention back in 2023. And that was an affiliate. And I was like, "Oh, if you have any links, please share more information with me," because I didn't know what that was. I had never been to. I've only been to one event, which was the USL mid-year event. But besides that, I haven't been to any other events. So James sent me the link. I signed up for it. And it was basically an opportunity for United Soccer Coaches convention to sponsor our podcast. So they had something called Podcast Row, which was really cool. So I had the opportunity. So we got selected and the One Stock Nation podcast, and I was able to host in-person podcasts for the first time, which was really cool. And then, so at United Soccer Coaches was where I ran into Quincy. I didn't plan to meet Quincy there at all. Again, the swag said God's plan, it just happened. We met, you know, we met in person, we talked, we hit it off. You know, we got a picture in. I met some people with him, and the rest is history, to be honest. And we stayed in contact, you know, we kept the conversation going. And now, you know, I'd say a year or two later now, Quincy is now a part of One Soccer Nation. He is the business development advisor. And I'm so excited to have him on. We have great chemistry. You know, I look up to him like a older brother and like a dad too, because, you know, he has three boys and wife, and he inspires me for my future father endeavor, future father inspirations. Yeah.
No, I was just laughing there just because when you said the dad part, I was just like, all right, Quincy's getting old.
Yeah, he's getting up there. He's still young. Though. He's still young.
Yeah. That's an awesome story. I think, like you said, it was just like it was meant to be, basically. All right. So Quincy's is going to listen to these next ones like deep because these are his questions. So
wait, Paul, you got to tell Quincy. I at the United Soccer Coaches Convention, I asked Quincy for a jersey. He said no. I was with Quincy in August and September. I asked him for a jersey, and this time he didn't say no. He said no to the jersey I asked for, but he said he would give me another jersey. So, but he's going to see this, and I want you to ask him for me too. So you got to tell him that Cream needs a jersey, a Quincy America jersey.
There we go. We got that. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the most, I'm going to ask you I want you to answer these in soccer way and business way. Yep. So what's the most important skill or quality you feel has helped you be successful as a soccer player and as a businessman?
Working hard and working smart.
All right. Perfect. What's the biggest mistake you think soccer players are making and or businessmen are making?
Soccer players planning post-career after you're done playing.
Plan it too late.
Plan it once their career is done. Gotcha. And something that me and Quincy have spoke about, and he's definitely shared more insights into it. And it's really important to plan after. And then in regards to business wise, I think with business entrepreneurs, I think it's an ongoing process. There's ongoing work to do. So I think regardless if you fail, this is with anything in life, I believe. Regardless of how many times you fail, as long as you don't quit, you can win. There's an opportunity to win. And there's a quote by Napoleon Hill that says in the book Think and Grow Rich, I think, it says, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I like that. What advice would you give to a young player, either, you know, trying to get to that next level, like a college, or trying to get to become a pro?
Yeah, I love that question, Paul. I think that the advice that I would give to young players that want to go pro is that, you know, what I would share is when I was growing up, all I ever wanted to do was go pro. I'm going to speak from both sides of my mouth here, but I'll share it anyways. Personally, when I grew up, I just wanted to go pro. I didn't want anything to do with school. But knowing what I know now and understanding the US landscape better is that going to college or university is like having insurance on your soccer career, as I would like to put it, because you can get injured. And it's not, people say it's, you have a 1% to go. There's only the top players, the only 1% of players get to go pro. But that's not the case, because you got 10,000 plus players in the college and university system that want to go pro, but there's only how many teams? Like,
yeah.
And how many jobs? It's not even 1%. So it's probably 0.001%. So you got to look at the, like, what are the facts? What are the numbers? And don't quote me on those numbers, but I'm just saying that the opportunity to go pro is very slim.
Yeah.
And what's the reality of the situation? And you know, a, your soccer career is very short unless you become a Neymar or Messi. And that's really hard. But knowing what I know now, going to college or university is not a bad pathway. So I would say that is like having life insurance on your soccer career, because anything can happen. It's kind of like a backup plan per se. But I'm going to shout out Kendall Reese here, because he did say something to me when I said this, when I interviewed him. He said, yeah, what you're saying makes sense. And that's what a lot of people do. But if you have a backup plan, the player that doesn't have a backup plan and their only focus and opportunity is to go pro to change their life, that person's going to do whatever it takes. They're going to go through hell to get there. And the person that has a backup plan, when things get tough, they may not want to go through the tough because they got a backup plan. So, and they're going up against the guy that this is their only opportunity, which is going pro, and they're working at it every day. That guy's going to win. Yeah. So that's why I was saying I'm going to speak out both sides of my mouth here. But again, if you have the opportunity to go to college or university and still pursue your career at a high level, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that answer. I like you gave both sides. This is a random question, not a Quincy question, because I got two more. But do you think it just popped up in my? Do you think if you were born in the U.S., your career would be way different?
100%. Again, it goes back to the opportunity.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no, that's what I kind of figured you were going to say.
Yeah.
All right, back to the Quincy questions. Why are you passionate about soccer?
Honestly, it's just like what I grew up knowing and playing. So I think it's just a really hard programming, and it's something that I love, something that I'm good at, and something I'm obsessed with. And again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about, like, when you're doing something that you love and work-wise, it's not really work.
I like that. All right. These last two, could be soccer related or life related. What is something that most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Something that's true.
Yeah.
But that something people believe that is true, but is not.
No, that you just personally believe isn't. Like that, it could be something basic, like somebody likes certain food, or they think it's the best food in the world and you don't. Or it could be like you think X player is better than Y player and somebody else thinks not.
That's a hard one. That's a hard question. You got me thinking here. Is it okay if I pass that one?
Yeah. But the next one's, let's see. All right, the next one is, what would be something you'd move forward with if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
Ooh. I mean, I don't really have any fear. I'm pretty like, let's go, let's do it type of person. This is how I answer it. For me, if there's any fear or challenge or obstacle that comes, which I don't have, but I would more say it's an obstacle. If there's an obstacle, I'm trying to figure how do I get through it? How do I get over it? How do I get under it or around it? Right. That's how I think.
All right. I like that. Do you have anything for that? What's something most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Okay. Well, can I reverse that question in regards to like what I feel like people don't believe, but I believe?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that, you know, like I'll ask, like, this is just a fun question, but like sometimes, well, barely now, but like I used to like ask like people like, or like friends, like, do they believe in aliens? And for the ones that don't believe in aliens, I'm like, bro, like we got animals like tigers, lions, sharks, like these are basically other creatures, but they're different from us and they're living species that God created. And why can't there be other planets? And there are other planets. Why can't there be other life? Like, why do people think that there's not other life beyond us? So that's what I would say.
All right. Yeah, that could be a whole nother podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. But it's like, why didn't we discover the other life, though?
Who knows? Maybe we're you know, Elon Musk is saying that we're about to have 1 million robots in 2040. So that's other conscious. I mean, life right there per se. I don't know how you would put that, but robotic.
True. All right, you ready for some fun questions?
I'm ready. Yeah.
I think I know how you're going to answer this one, but is it soccer or football?
You know, it's known as football at the highest level, but for me, it's soccer. I like that. Don't mind saying ball.
Yeah. Messi or Ronaldo, who's better?
Who's better? I got to answer this two ways.
Who do you like better?
Okay, they're both great. They're both great players. Okay, you got to give them that. You've never seen something like this ever, so they're the first two to do it. Messi has one more, right? Especially, I feel like putting the World Cup on it, stamped it for everyone, was like, yeah, that's it. Like, you can't talk about Ronaldo no more. But for me personally, growing up, I was more attracted to Ronaldo because of his flashiness, his style, his attitude, his marketing and work ethic. That he gravitated more towards me. And a few other players that I'd like to mention that I remember in my come ups was me growing up in soccer was, you know, Kaká, Neymar, obviously Messi, you know, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho. Who else is there? You know, the Iniesta, the Xavi. You know, these are players that are still here in my memory that I remember, but. Yeah, I guess that's the long way of saying, I would just say Ronaldo's the person that I used to like watch per se more.
Yeah, but you think Messi's better?
I'm not going to say Messi's better, but like, you know, once he won the World Cup, they put the stamp on him. Like, that's it. Like, no one can argue that Ronaldo's better than Messi. So, but I'll say for the podcast, I'll just say Ronaldo.
All right, I like that. who would you want to do a jersey exchange with?
Ooh, I like that one. I mean, I'm trying to do one with Quincy. I could give him a One Soccer Nation jersey.
There you go. That's what I was just gonna say. You should get a jersey, One Soccer Nation. No, you gotta order a custom jersey and put Ray on the back.
We gotta do that. That's a good idea. That's a good question. I would wanna do a swap with.
What about is there any like Canadian players you grew up either liking or even now?
Yeah, I mean, I know, not growing up, but now I would say like someone that really put Canada on the map first was really Alphonso Davies, for me, at least from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I'd get an Alphonso Davies jersey. He's a cool guy, same age, and he's killing it. So I'd do Alphonso Davies. I'd also want a jersey from Neymar.
Oh yeah, of course. Legend. What's your favorite like cheat meal?
Ah, that's a good one. Well, I'm vegan.
All right.
A little bit here and there, I'll put some fish in it, some sort of pescatarian, I guess you could say. I like a good sushi. A good crab roll sushi from Harriet's Rooftop. It's so good.
What made you turn vegan?
I mean, that's an off-topic question. I'll share that with you after.
All right, sounds good. All right, Kareem, I appreciate you coming on, and could you let the listeners know where they could follow you and One Soccer Nation?
Yeah, thank you, Paul. They could check out One Soccer. Yeah, so we got onesoccernation.com, which will be linked in the description. All information's there, and then all social media platforms is just One Soccer Nation, or for me, it's Kareem Ray. So KAREEMRAE.
Quincy Mariquois here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.